This is a Tadad podcast.
Hello, listeners. Welcome back to this special podcast series featuring the International Monetary Fund's Fiscal Affairs Department, FAD Gender Initiative, Gender and Revenue Administration. I am Wofai Ibiang from the Tadad Secretariat. Last time, we heard from the Vice President of Ecuador, Maria Alejandra Munoz, and Jamaica's Chief Executive Officer and Commissioner of the Customs Agency, Velma Ricketts Walker, who shared their experiences leading customs agencies. In this second episode of the series, FAD's Deborah Adams, Division Chief of the Revenue Administration Division 1, leads a conversation with two tax administration leaders. Mr. Fathuhula Jamil is the Commissioner General of Taxation at the Maldives Inland Revenue Authority, MIRA. And Ms. Mirela Kalugaranu is the President of the National Agency for Fiscal Administration, NEFA, in Romania. The both speak on how their organization's human resource policies and strategies are facilitating women's participation in tax administration, and also underscore the broader role of government in fostering equal opportunities. Ms. Kalugaranu cites the Equal Opportunity Agency in Romania, and Mr. Jamil highlights how the National Action Plan in the Maldives is advancing women's participation in leadership. Have a listen.
Welcome everyone to the second in our series of podcasts on gender and revenue administration. Thank you very much for joining us today. I'm looking forward to continuing the conversation, this time focused on the role of gender in high-performing tax administrations. One aspect of this is how we continue to design and introduce policies that promote the participation of women in the workforce at tax administrations, and also more broadly, promote women's participation in the economy. As employees, employers, and business owners, women make a vital contribution. But right now, in the world, we continue to see the negative impact of COVID-19 on women, rolling back gains in women's economic opportunities and widening gender gaps. As an IMF blog last year noted, what is good for women is ultimately good for addressing income inequality, economic growth, and resilience. And that feels like a more positive note on which to move to some quick introductions. I'm Deborah Adams, Division Chief in the Revenue Administration Division 1 at the IMF Fiscal Affairs Department, and I'm very pleased to host this conversation today. Let me take this opportunity to introduce my two guests. First, let me welcome Mirela Kalugaranu, President of the National Agency for Fiscal Administration in Romania, known as NAFA. Welcome, Mirela. And let me also welcome Fatula Jamil, Commissioner General of the Maldives Inland Revenue Authority, known as MIRA. I think we already have a signal of how diverse our conversation will be today, with experiences from a relatively large European revenue administration to a relatively small Asian island state administration. But I really believe the gender issues we explore today transcend both the location and size of our tax administrations and are truly global issues. I'm excited for you both to share your observations and insights, as I know they will provide inspiration to others facing similar issues around the globe. Maybe I start by asking you both to take just a few minutes to tell us a little bit about your career and how that led you to join us here in today's conversation. Mirela, why don't you please get us started? Thank you.
Thank you for your invitation. I am happy to share some of my experience with you. My career started 30 years ago in the tax field. I look back to that moment with joy. Firstly, I was assigned back office responsibilities and then management position. Every success motivated me, and I understood that I can go from good to better. I am honored to be the first woman appointed as NAFA president, I work in most of the departments, such as tax collection, tax audit, treasury. I really enjoy working in a team, and I really enjoy to give a chance to the young people. What else? I have learned that I need to constantly learn. Inactivity is my enemy. Self-improvement is my ally. I have improved my professional training, but also my education. I obtained a doctoral degree in finance, focusing in fiscality. I am currently an associated professor at the Academy of Economic Studies, the oldest Romanian university in the economic field. Outside my work and academic life, I'm a typical person. I enjoy spending time with my family, cooking, traveling, and skiing. This is very important in order to balance my energy level.
Okay, thank you very much. I feel quite inspired already by your career, your commitment to learning, and also a little focus there at the end on work-life balance. Fatula, let me turn to you. How did your career lead you to talk to us here today? Thank you.
Thank you. I think it's a very inspirational introduction. You could say that my career started at revenue administration as well. I served in the public sector for over 12 years now, starting from 2003 at Department of Indian Revenue under Ministry of Finance. I was part of the team that transitioned from the Department of Indian Revenue when Maldives Indian Revenue Authority was established as an independent institution in 2010. From 2003 to 2016, where in the 2 years of studies abroad, I worked in public sector in revenue and tax administration at different levels. I started off as a trainee and over these years worked up to the position of Director General of Audit and Investigation of MIRA. In 2016, I transitioned into the private sector, where I worked as the manager of tax risk and compliance at the leading telecommunication company of Maldives. I held this post until I took on the position of Commissioner General of Taxation in October 2019. I was especially happy to have had my prior experience with tax introduction as Maldives established comprehensive tax system under a new law from 2020. In the introduction of new income tax regime of Maldives, I would consider IMF a key partner in our effort till now. I take this opportunity to thank IMF for continuous assistance they have been providing us and hope that we will be able to continue it so in the future as well.
Thank you both for telling us a little bit about your careers. What I hear, which I often hear from tax practitioners, is a commitment to the mandate of the institution, a commitment to the hard work, also with a willingness to be flexible, to move around, soaking up knowledge and experience as your careers progress. Like Fatula, I also had a period in the private sector. I think it adds a new angle to your thinking as a tax administrator. But I want to move now to our main topic of gender issues in revenue administration. And I want to start with a question for you, Fatula. MIRA has made impressive efforts to promote women in leadership. Can you share your progress and some insight on how you've managed to make this much progress? Thank you.
When MIRA was first established, our former Commissioner General made a concerted effort to recruit fresh minds and graduates who would be able to thrive in the new sort of culture that MIRA wanted to create. From its very establishment, MIRA has been an organization that had more female staff than male. We have a higher pay structure than most of government organizations, of course, with some restrictions as well. We are an SEC-approved employer, which means that our staffs can get their professional membership, chartered accountants title, if they worked at MIRA for a required amount of time, with guidance and mentorship. MIRA provides extensive training opportunities to staff both internally and externally, including overseas trainings, which would be difficult to get otherwise. Mira has always geared towards establishing a very disciplined organizational culture, with the tone at the top being encouraging for gender equity. One thing I can confidently say is that everyone who comes to Mira stands a level playing field, meaning that we do not discriminate nor reward with the bias for being a particular gender, your marital status, nor your family situations. Your achievement at Mira are based on your merit. This ensures that when it comes time for promotions, no gender has an advantage, as all provide equal opportunities from the onset. I believe this can be illustrated by some statistics we have. For example, 56% of total staff at Mira are women. In terms of qualification, 57% of bachelor's level holders and 55% of master's level qualification holders are women. 56% of our managerial staff are women, and 50% of the topmost management are also women. However, we see that there is less women among senior executives, with the number currently around 30%. There are still some areas that we need to address for proper representation to be there at all levels. It is my hope that with the higher representation of women at managerial level and the work we intend to do to provide opportunities for their development, we will see more women in the senior executive level of Mira as well.
You touched on a range of very interesting areas there, from recruitment policies, human resource policies, organizational culture, access to development opportunities, and how you try to make a level playing field. So turning, Mirella, to you, NAFO has a much longer history as an institution than Mira. Maybe you heard something familiar from Fatula's discussion there, but what are some of the factors that contribute to improving the representation of women in your tax administration in NAFO? Thank you.
So NAFA has a rich history indeed. Our country has moved from communism to democracy, from a state-controlled economy to a market economy. Currently, NAFA is facing a great challenge, the evolution to the future. That's why we are investing in the training of our staff to make sure our employees are prepared for the future. Equal access to education and training is a powerful tool. I believe that the factors which affected the representation of women in NAFA are in general economic, social, and cultural. If I were to name the particular factors which motivated women to work in Romania tax administration, I would pick domain of work, job stability, income security, flexible paid leave, parental paid leave policy, possibility to follow a career, gender non-discrimination, and organizational culture. NAFA has over 22,000 employees, and 65% of them are women. Also, women represent 60% of the management position. Moreover, inside NAFA, we have equal opportunity experts. Gender equality is an essential principle guiding the human resources policies. The human resources strategy for 2020-2025 will take into account the gender diversity. There is no gender pay gap inside NAFA.
Great, Mirella. Thank you very much. I'm interested in the equal opportunities experts. I mean, are these people who grow inside NAFA, or are they people who are recruited and brought in because they have specialist knowledge of these policies. Can you explain any more about their role and who they are?
In Romania, we have an Equal Opportunity Agency, which has been set up inside the Ministry of Labor. This agency have the importance and the role to develop experts in this field.
Great, thank you. Thank you very much. And I, what I heard from both NAFA and MIRA is a similar issues around getting women recruited, having policies that support them throughout their careers, and many of the same policies will support men throughout their careers as well. They would be good careers. So how do we get started in tax administration? And maybe, Fatula, I can start with you about what, in your view, is the best way to attract the best women to work in tax administration. How does MIRA do this? Because you talked a little bit about the quality of graduates coming up in the Maldives. I mean, is that the starting point? How do you get those women into your institution?
It would be very difficult to say that there is an absolutely certain method of ensuring that women in tax administration work in tax administration, and also to attract the best women or the best employees. But from our experience, showing by example that you are an organization without gender bias and with equal opportunity for all seems a good place to start. At MIRA, we have women at key positions of the organization who lead several important functions that is visible not just internally, but also externally. We highlight and celebrate the achievement of this staff through media releases such as My MIRA Journey or other highlights we make for days such as Women's Day. Female staff at MIRA are extremely competent and empowered to take lead and make decisions. The attitude at the top of the organization towards this empowerment is shown through the respectful engagement had at meetings and the opportunities to lead major reform works at MIRA. When you look at team members who represent MIRA at key areas, there are highly skilled women, which in turn shows everyone how the organizational culture is at MIRA. For example, in MIRA's enforcement team, media team, international team, return processing, HR, payment processing, as well as some audit teams, there are women at the top level leading these teams. We started off with a very young workforce, and over the past 10 years, the team members have also matured with the organization. Whether this be things like extended maternity leave, family responsibility leave, flexible working hours in this pandemic, work from home opportunities, the organization also needs to be flexible to the changing environment and changing needs of the team. There's variety of skills and competencies to be developed at tax administration, and an opportunity to specialize in very technical areas.
I think, Fatula, as a follower of MIRA on Facebook, I'm a bit old-fashioned. I'm stuck in the Facebook era, but I think your outward, your social media presence, your visibility is definitely one factor that I would see as your success. And having visible role models, leaders in the top of your administration who are out there promoting the work. And I think definitely, when I think of my career, role models are always very important. And the other interesting thing you talked about there was about succession planning and getting the pipeline of women who can come through to those leadership positions. And I see sitting here looking at Mirella as the president of NAFA as a role model for her staff, for people outside NAFA as well. But if we broaden the discussion, and here I will ask Mirella, she talked a little bit already about the equal opportunities work, but what do you see as the role, the broader government role being played in supporting the tax administration to improve their gender diversity in the workforce? Mirella, can I turn to you about that broader government role? Thank you.
The government plays an essential role on this topic. Equal opportunity and equal treatment represent important human rights principle That's why public policies in this field must bring an improvement to the quality of life. Equal opportunity, it's regulated by law. As I said, at the governmental level, a strategy was adopted to ensure the implementation of this equal opportunity policies. In this way, an equal opportunity agency has been set up, as I said, inside the Ministry of Labor. In this context, the institutional capacity was improved through a national mechanism in the gender diversity domain. But in NAFA, we don't have specific rules for recruiting women.
Okay, thank you very much. Fatula, is there any thoughts you want to add from the Maldives experience's broader government influence policies at work in the Maldives more generally?
I think, Marita, I also have highlighted that it's not something that one organization actually, there's so much that an institution can do. But it should be an whole of government advice. Gender equity is not something that can be achieved by one organization, as I have mentioned. When there are things like cultural beliefs and societal pressure, cultural beliefs and societal pressure that present obstacles that a few cannot overcome, it is important that the governments take the initiative to lead such movements. As I mentioned in the beginning, the ratio of girls who graduate and those that graduate with the honors in the Maldives is actually higher than boys. It is also the same for most entry-level jobs. However, when it comes to the managerial and senior executive-level jobs, we see this ratio swing significantly in favor of men. There are many aspects at play here. Preconceived notions of how a woman may leave late later to focus on family meetings, they aren't considered for promotions and organizations not investing in them. Cultural beliefs around child-rearing responsibilities of women leading to the men's career taking precedence are among some of the issues. We know that women make up a significant bulk of employees. However, when we look at the number in the higher earning spectrum, which would be those that are required to register for tax, the numbers are significantly lower. For example, only 16% employees registered for employee withholding tax are women. Things like this shows that the need of employment laws and regulations that cater to unique needs of women, protect their rights, promote opportunities for them. Maldives government has been expending efforts on this front. The Gender Equality Act of 2016 looks to eradicate deep-seated gender bias and gives equal opportunity to women. The National Strategic Action Plan 2019 to 2023 of Maldives has clearly outlined gender equality as a key priority of the government, with target efforts to be made in implementation of the Gender Equality Act, empowerment of women development committees, access to funding for female entrepreneurs. Government support and funding for initiative that promotes gender equality would set the tone at the top of the for the rest of the government bodies and even the public. In policies such as these are effectively implemented and maintained for the long term, the government would be supporting the society at large, eradicating gender bias and thus assist tax administrations as well. Government plays a key role in changing the mindset of people on gender roles, especially through education, awareness programs, in schools, which ensures that upcoming generations grow up without gender bias. They also play a key role in removing the hurdles that women face in career development and sustain.
Thank you, Fatula. I'm interested in your perspective on that because I think it's extremely interesting that obviously we cannot work in a vaccuum. A tax administration doesn't work in a vacuum. It's part of society. It touches almost every member of society in its work. So I think that was great insight into what the Maldives is doing at the broader level that will also help influence through the tax administration. And both of you started to broaden the conversation here. We've been quite focused sort of internally onto tax administration. But if we open this up around approaches that a tax administration can adopt to help increase women's participation in the economy. And perhaps I'll start with Mirella here to look at the Romanian experience of policies and approaches to help increase women's participation in the broader economy. Thank you, Mirella.
Yes, when I was appointed in 2019, I developed a management plan, an action plan I wanted to implement. However, along the way, the pandemic started. I had to adapt the action plan and create a recovery plan. It was a very difficult time with a lot of complex decisions that I had to take in a very short time. I decided to set up a working group for drafting the recovery plan. The group consists of 8 members. 6 of them are women. We have also hired a doctor who is also a woman. We have taken measures to allow for remote working. Minimum physical presence at the office was required. These measures have improved to work-life balance. For example, our workers could take care of their children, and in the same time, they managed to do their job well. Personally, I was highly motivated by the fact that I received an award at the Woman Who Changed Romania Gala, together with other important persons from the public and private sector. During this event, I have met women who truly changed Romania and generate added value. At the end of 2019, we have succeeded in setting up the Consultative Council. The Consultative Council has the important role of listening to the voice of the academics and the private sector in order to support us in implementing reform measures. This is a good moment in Romania to develop an approach in order to improve the participation of women on the job market.
Thank you, Mirella. I mean, Fatulu, you had already touched a bit about your new withholding income tax and female participation in the workforce. Is there anything you want to add about the role of women in the economy in the Maldives at this stage?
Yeah, I think it's not just the economy, how women are represented in the top government positions, especially. As I have mentioned, that the National Election Plan also highlighted that the opportunities were given for the women, specifically assigned roles. For example, in our local council also recently had 30% is assigned for women only. And also very recently, in the last year, I think, we have appointed our first female justices for the Supreme Court. So, and also for all the state-owned enterprises, there are a certain number of positions actually assigned or dedicated for the for women as well. So through these kinds of efforts, the women in leadership is growing. But as I have mentioned that, still, if we look at the total taxpayer population, the representation of women in economic sectors is very less. the government efforts along with these changes, probably in the future we will see more women involvements. The government has actually plans through the SME Development Bank which supports female entrepreneurs.
I mean, I hear from the start of our conversation to now, we've started quite small within, our personal careers, our institutions, then broader government, and then broader society. And I think, Fatullah, you said one institution can't change these things, but we can make our steps internally. We can have the right policies, encourage the right behaviors, and society as a whole, as influenced by government policies, which we have seen in Romania, big government policies focused on equal opportunities is one other factor. And I very much appreciated, Fatullah, your note about the role of society, the culture, and the history of society has on the workplace and gender diversity in the workplace. To sort of bring our conversation to a close, and I think we have just a little bit of time, maybe we'll return to the more personal. And maybe Mirella, I'll start with you as a successful leader in tax administration. What quick pieces of career advice would you like to pass on to women starting off in tax administration today? Thank you.
I have succeeded. You can do it as well. It has never been and it will never be easy. Learn, work, get involved so that limit no longer exists. Following a career should not be the main purpose, but the feeling of a job well done. Women need to know their power and their rights. We should realize that equal opportunity should not be a privilege. Last but not least, gender diversity can positively influence the success of a team.
That's fantastic. I also want to congratulate you on the award that you mentioned you received 2-3 years ago, which is extremely impressive to have someone with your profile being raised up and awarded for your activities in this area. And Fatullah, the same question to you. Quick advice for women starting in tax administration, whether it be MIRA or NAFA or anywhere in the world.
The advice I can give comes from having observed how female staff at MIRA have developed in their careers till now. It might be quite general, but some pointers which I can think of make good use of the training opportunities provided would be, so take the opportunity to develop your skills through the chances given. Take initiative. As MIRA have correctly mentioned, be engaged and volunteer to participate in different missions or projects that are undertaken. Read and research so that you are updated in recent developments in domestic and international tax arena. This will give you an advantage over someone who might not. Know that tax administration is not just one area of field. It is not just auditing, accounting. If possible, work with a mentor who can guide you through your learning experience and development phase. You will have someone who can help you when you have questions or need help. The most important thing is, if you want anything, you have to ask for that. You have to work for that. Then only you will gain it.
That's great, and I strongly felt the advice from both of you about learning, being exposed, putting yourself out there. Yes, taking a risk sometimes and doing something that is more challenging, but from which you learn and take it. I suppose my personal career advice is never turn down an opportunity. So as Fatullah said, if a training course is offered, seize it, expose yourself and learn from this. I mean, this is, I hope that as young tax administrators out there will hear this and feel that there is a career path, an attractive career path and career development inside tax administration with many avenues you may take in that career and that there are equal opportunities for female and male employees through a career within a tax administration. I'm sorry to have to draw our conversation to a close. It feels like there's much more to discuss on this vital topic. But I want to just go back to something Mirella just finished with there about the positive influence gender diversity can have on a team and on a tax administration. To you, my guests, Mirella and Fatula, thank you for taking the time to share your personal insights and experiences. What a fascinating discussion. Thanks to everyone for listening today. We look forward to the next time. Thank you.
To watch a full version of this episode, please visit the TADAT YouTube channel. We would also like to hear from you. Please share your comments and questions via email to podcast@tadat.org. Thank you for listening and stay tuned for another episode of the Gender and Revenue Administration podcast series. Thank you.
The TADAT podcast is available free of charge. The views expressed in the TADAT podcast are those of the authors and do not necessarily represent those of the International Monetary Fund or the IMF policy. Materials from the podcast may be reproduced with proper attribution. Comments and correspondence may be emailed to podcast@tadat.org. TADAT is a collaborative undertaking of the following partners: France, Germany, the International Monetary Fund, Japan, the Netherlands, Norway, Switzerland, the United Kingdom, and the World Bank.